Thank you for listening to Enable This Week. The much-anticipated fall celebration of Thanksgiving is almost here. It will definitely be different this year, but hopefully we will all find reasons to be thankful, no matter how we choose to celebrate. I have gathered several short articles reflecting Thanksgiving thoughts for people who are blind or visually impaired. The first article comes from the American Foundation for the Blind. Their website is www.afb.org. And the title is A Thanksgiving Message from Helen Keller. This was written in about 1932. It starts off with an image. It's a beautiful image, very low key. The first page of a Thanksgiving card. It's a drawing of an amphora, which I looked up, and the definition is a pottery jar. It has two little handles on the side. Drawing of an amphora with a vine growing out of it. The vine's branch climbs up the left-hand side of the card and across the top of the page. Tendrils coming from the vine, and it looks like there are small purple berries coming from the tendrils. Actually, these little berries are Braille symbols with their appropriate alphabet letters hanging from the tendrils as well. They spell out the message, "We greet you and thank you." A charming little card. Now, there's a background note here. Helen Keller worked for the American Foundation for the Blind, the AFB, for 44 years, from 1924 until 1968. The image that I just described is the first page of a folded card with Thanksgiving greetings from Helen Keller and the AFB, circa 1932. The entire text of the card is transcribed for you now. The front page of the card says, "Dear friend, please gather the Braille characters from the vine that grows over this page. Begin with the lowest cluster, W, then continue to read from left to right, from right to left, until the tendril disappears at the upper right margin. As you follow the vine upwards, you will find that you are gathering a Thanksgiving message of gratitude from your sightless fellow citizens, whose harvests of knowledge, useful activity, and joy have been increased through your generous friendship. Then you will open this folder and read with responsive mind and heart its message of hope for the future. Thankfully yours, signed Helen Keller." And as you open the card, you find these words on page 2. "The blind man whom you see working at his punch press has been manipulating it skillfully for several years. Because he is a round peg in a round hole, he continues to hold his position during the present unemployment crisis. The agent," this is in 1932, by the way, the article continues, "the agent who placed him at this machine was guided by intelligence as well as true understanding of the blind and their capabilities. There are many sightless men and women in all parts of our country who are striving eagerly to become self-supporting. As their need grows more pressing, they turn, naturally, to some local organizations for the blind, hoping that through the help of these agents they may find paying work. These workers for the blind, in their efforts to discover what occupations offer most opportunity to the sightless, appeal to our foundation for vocational information and suggestions. They are writing us from all parts of the country that their need of our cooperation has never been so great as now. The American Foundation for the Blind has made studies of hundreds of occupations in which blind men and women are now successfully engaged and is constantly seeking new possibilities for sightless workers." And Helen Keller continues with this message on page 3 of this Thanksgiving card. She says, "From our vocational records, placement agents throughout the nation may gain important information concerning blind workers, knowledge which will help them to approach an employer from a practical standpoint, and hence with far greater probability of success in placing the sightless men and women in whom they are interested. Before many years have passed, the blind child will have to face the world as a wage earner. His teacher may obtain vocational information from our foundation, which will suggest ways of training these little hands toward future independence. You, loyal friend, have made it possible for us to render this great service to the blind. We ask you to continue to give our foundation your support and friendship, to the end that we may continue to sow the seed of new effort in behalf of the sightless. for without such sowing, their future years will be far less rich in the supreme thanksgiving, the sense of well-being, the joy that comes through self-support. Now, this is the end of Helen Keller's card, and next we have from the AFB, AFB's commitment to helping those with vision loss and to challenging misconceptions of people who are blind or visually impaired remains as strong as when we began in 1921. We thank you for all your support and wish you and yours a very happy Thanksgiving. This card from Helen Keller was dated back in 1932. Next, I have a short article that connects employment and kids and Thanksgiving. A great idea if you have a child who is blind. The information came from www.familyconnect.org. An explanation, Family Connect is an online multimedia community created to give parents of visually impaired children a place to support each other, share stories and concerns, and link to local resources. It is part of the American Printing House for the Blind. And once again, this website is familyconnect.org. The headline says, Inspired by the Holidays, encourage your child who is blind or visually impaired to get curious about careers. This is from the blog post called Career Education During the Holidays by Emily Coleman. If you plan to have a gathering of family or friends who feel like family, whom you will join for a Thanksgiving meal, take full advantage. Give them a heads up that you want to expose your child or your children to the types of work they do, the route taken to attain those jobs, and what the work entails. People generally enjoy sharing their experiences, and my hunch is they will be happy to share. To get started, pique your child's interest ahead of time and tell your son you know that his favorite uncle does such and such for work, but you're not real certain if he gets to do such and such. Read a book with your young child that highlights a particular job of a family member. Discuss questions you can ask the relative once he or she arrives for the holiday meal. Perhaps you can identify an interest of your child and relate it to a grandpa's work. Next, consider age and developmentally appropriate questions that you can ask relatives or friends regarding their former and current careers, and encourage your child to reflect on what he will want to ask of the relatives. There are some topics and questions that are suggested here. You could ask, what is your job and what are your job responsibilities? You can ask, what do you wear to work? You could ask, what do you enjoy at work and what's the most challenging? You could also ask or have your child ask, what was the process of preparing for your job? You also should ask, how did you find your job? You can have your child say, tell us about a role model or a mentor who guided or encouraged you at work. You could also ask, what was transitioning from high school to adult life like for you? Another question might be, what do you wish you had learned at home before you moved out of your home? Next, what was your first job? What did you learn then that helped you prepare for what you do now? Another possible question, what do you think it takes to be successful at work? And then don't forget to remind your child to thank the individuals for helping he or she learn about work. The next article comes from VisionAware website, visionaware.org. There's an editor's note that accompanies this. They say, just in time for Thanksgiving, we bring you this thoughtful post by Reverend Laura Bratton, a United Methodist pastor in South Carolina. She is founder of UBI Global LLC, that's spelled UBI Global LLC, and she is the author of the book called Harnessing Courage, Overcoming Adversity with Grit and Gratitude. The author's website is www.ubglobal.org. The headline is Gratitude, a Healing Resource for People Experiencing Vision Loss. This was written by Laura Bratton, guest contributor. Her last name, by the way, is spelled Bratton. Laura Bratton. How can gratitude be a healing resource when adjusting to vision problems? Receiving a diagnosis that results in vision loss is absolutely overwhelming. Regardless of the severity of the vision loss, It is difficult to receive the news and experience the deterioration of your vision. There is so much information to process, such as the following three things: what doctor will be best for you, what accommodations will need to be made for you at home or at work, and what do your family and friends need to learn in order to best help you. Then there are all of the emotions you are feeling, such as fear, sadness, anger, depression, and anxiety. The next section is my diagnosis. She tells you about this. I experienced this overwhelming reality and these difficult emotions when I was diagnosed with an eye disease similar to macular degeneration at the age of 9 years old. Over the next few years, I lost most of my sight. Now, in my early 30s, I have light perception but no usable vision. I was overwhelmed with fear, anxiety, and depression. How would I continue to live? What would my future be? Gratitude was the farthest thing from my mind. So why is half of my book, which is titled Harnessing Courage, why is half of my book focused on being grateful? How can gratitude help you and me as we adjust and live with vision loss? No, we are not grateful for our vision problems. We are not thankful for the difficulty that comes with having vision loss. What we can be grateful for is the family, friends, community, doctors, counselors, and everyone who help us adjust and continue living with meaning and purpose. We can be thankful for the support that we are given in the midst of the difficult and overwhelming transition time. Being grateful does not come easily or naturally. Rather, living a life of gratitude takes time and process. I found it extremely helpful to begin living with gratitude by thinking about 5 people, events, and situations that I was thankful for on that particular day. Getting into the habit of spending a few minutes each night thinking about what I was grateful for gave me strength and hope. I was reminded each day that even during the horrible experience of adjusting to life without sight, I had much to be thankful for. Being grateful does not mean that we dismiss, minimize, or ignore the hard emotions and difficult reality. Rather, gratefulness is one tool that empowers each of us to move forward in the face of our new normal. What is one way that you can begin living each day with gratitude? How is it that you can incorporate thankfulness into your daily life? And once again, this was Laura Bratton, Bratton, and the name of her book is Harnessing Courage, Overcoming Adversity with Grit and Gratitude. Next, we have another idea if you have a child who is blind or visually impaired. This comes from familyconnect.org. The headline says, Inspired by the Holidays, Enlisting the Help of Your Child Who is Blind or Visually Impaired with Your Thanksgiving Meal Preparation. The article starts by saying, I know Thanksgiving week can be an intense week of traveling or hosting relatives, and you may feel held captive by the kitchen. But what if this week can also be a time for your child who is blind or visually impaired to improve her cooking skills and shine? What if you allow your child and her siblings to help with one dish? Maybe this dish is roasted, steamed, poached, sautéed, grilled, baked, braised, or, hey, stirred or microwaved. This dish can even be made ahead. In fact, this is highly recommended. You see, if you ask for your child's help with cooking one dish, you are helping your child. You are giving your child the gift of feeling like a contributing member of your family team. You are giving your child the gift of pursuing mealtime independence and safe cooking techniques for people who are blind or visually impaired. You are giving your child the gift of your time and attention. So consider giving your child a few options of dishes and have her choose one she'd like to help you cook for your Thanksgiving meal. You have a baby? Well, your babe can help add sliced fruit into the fruit salad, or she can enjoy the aroma of fruit as you narrate the experience. You have a toddler? Your toddler can help mash those cooked sweet or white potatoes. You have a school-age child? Your child can help you whip up a green bean casserole or a corn casserole the night before Thanksgiving. You have a teenager? Your teen can choose her favorite side dish or decide to help prepare the turkey. If it's developmentally appropriate, ask your child to help search for the recipe and create a grocery list together. And if time allows, take her to the store and involve her in the shopping experience. When home, have her help label the packaged and canned food appropriately, and then properly store the items until it's cooking showtime. For the smoothest experience at showtime, work together to make sure the environment is prepped and all the ingredients and tools are accessible. Whether your child is just beginning to learn self-feeding skills and table manners, or if she's a kitchen pro, include her in a portion of your Thanksgiving meal preparation. Let her know what's involved in feeding a large crowd. Discuss how you decide on your recipes, and invite her to help you with one Thanksgiving dish. Maybe this cooperative cooking of one dish will become one of your favorite Thanksgiving traditions. I can't resist making two comments to you here. First of all, the author chose to use the pronoun she and her, referring to a girl. Please carry these suggestions over if you have boys in your life. Boys need to cook and learn independence just as well as girls. And also, I was also thinking, based on my experience working with senior citizens, this would be a great idea involving a child who's blind. Could also apply to involving an older adult who's blind. Involve them. I think it would be memorable and so kind of you to do that. The next article, I have some lighthearted ideas for you. It comes from visionaware.org. This headline reads, Thanksgiving Made Easy for a Single Visually Impaired Hostess. This title is Visually Impaired, Now What? And it's written by Mary Hyland, H-I-L-A-N-D, from visionaware.org. The most interesting Thanksgiving memory is the first paragraph. No smoking and no football. Those were the ground rules I had laid down for my Thanksgiving dinner back in 1992. Everybody has a favorite Thanksgiving memory and a worst Thanksgiving memory. But here is my most interesting one and, hey, maybe the most fun. Newly divorced, I decided to host a Thanksgiving dinner for my single friends who had no other plans for the day. There were 11 of us that first year. No two people knew each other because I had invited friends from different parts of my life. One was a coworker, one was a bicycling friend, one was my massage therapist. Well, you get the idea. The next paragraph, setting the menu. After each telephoned invitation, I asked, what is it that you have to have in order to make it a Thanksgiving dinner? If they answered pumpkin pie, I said, good, you bring the pumpkin pie. Sweet potatoes? Okay, you bring the sweet potatoes. Collard greens? Seriously? Okay, you bring the collard greens. I cooked the turkey only because it made sense to use my own oven. The next paragraph is, it's not about the food. And she says, I am one of the very few Americans who doesn't like Thanksgiving food. I can eat a little bit of turkey on the day, but then that's it for a year. I have never learned to like sweet potatoes or pumpkin pie, so it's not about the food for me. What I do like is gathering around a table with family and friends and spending the rest of the afternoon playing games, going for a walk, and playing music together. Notice, I did not mention taking a nap on the couch or watching a football game on TV. I had had enough of scheduling dinner during halftime ever since I was a little girl, so the last thing I wanted was the background noise of men bashing into each other in beer commercials. Two of the people I invited were smokers, but they observed my no-smoking rule by going outside to smoke. They only went out for a cigarette twice that day because it happened to be extremely cold. I like to think I helped their lungs a little bit with my no-smoking rule. Next, we come to the cleanup. After dinner, four or five of us went for a walk around the neighborhood, while the rest of them cleaned up the kitchen. What a deal! One of the women loved to make turkey soup with turkey bones, so I showed her where the aluminum foil was and happily handed the carcass over to her. And then we carried the disposable pan out to the garbage, and voila, the messiest part of the cleanup was over. I wanted no leftovers, so everybody was instructed to take the dishes they brought back home with them. The next biggest hassle was over. I had to set up the patio table in the living room for the extra 5 people who couldn't fit around my small kitchen table. So the guys carried it back out to the patio. The living room was cleared. We spent the rest of the day with 2 of my favorite games, Encore, a singing game, and Scrabble. A few days later, I received a thank you note from one of the smokers. Quote, "I wasn't sure about coming, since you said no smoking and no football," he wrote, "because I didn't think I could get through the day without either one. But it was the nicest Thanksgiving I have ever had." End quote. Now for your invitation. If I were to invite you to my house for Thanksgiving, my dear peers, what would you bring? It's okay if you duplicate what I've already mentioned. This imaginary group is going to be pretty big, so we'll need a lot of food. We might have to set up some dishes on top of the piano and on top of the stereo. And some of us, in my imaginary dinner, might have to sit outside because my house is small. But we won't mind. It's not about the eating, but the camaraderie and the feelings of fellowship and sharing. Now, don't just stand there at the door. Come on in. What's that you brought? Oh, yum yum, it's my favorite. And once again, we may be celebrating Thanksgiving a little differently this year, but we have those good memories. Now, back to Family Connect for the next article. This is called Being Thankful. And this comes from the website or the blog called Raising a Child Who Was Blind by Emily Coleman, who is the parent of a child who is blind. She says, "I'm going to share a little secret that is often hidden by my mostly positive writing. Raising a child like my Eddie is pretty hard. Multiple times a day, an overwhelming feeling of anxiety starts to build, and I do my best to block it, but it is always there under the surface. I could easily focus on the struggles he faces every day and the fear that I can't help him. Honestly, sometimes I can't help but focus on that. But not today. Today I am focusing on being thankful. I am thankful for his ridiculously contagious laughter, which comes out of nowhere and makes us wonder if he's a little bit possessed. I am thankful for his hugs and air kisses, because he's never quite patient enough to make it all the way to my cheek. I'm thankful for his willingness to use a white cane, even if he hasn't quite figured out its intended purpose. I'm thankful for the dedicated staff at his school and their willingness to work hard for Eddie. I know I'm not always a picnic, and neither is Eddie. I'm thankful for a certain occupational therapy guru who has just agreed to evaluate my son, even though she has no time. I am thankful for a foundation in our area which awarded Eddie a grant so we don't have to deny him what he needs. I'm thankful for my husband, who is the best father I have ever met. I'm thankful for my daughters, who surprise, amaze, and entertain me every day. I am thankful for having so much family that we simply can't be with them all on Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful that they all want us there and accept Eddie for who he is. And finally, this Thanksgiving, I am most thankful for having known my grandfather-in-law, who we unexpectedly lost last weekend. He was without a doubt the biggest fan of this blog, even though he never got on the internet. Family printed off copies of my postings, and he faithfully stowed them chronologically in a binder and referred to it as his book. He often spoke about Eddie and knew Eddie really well because of reading his book. He had a greater understanding of my family because he always took the time to read, ask questions, and simply care. He was a generous, loving man, and thanks to him, so is Eddie's dad. So on this day, the only overwhelming anxiety I feel is that I won't be sending a copy of this article to him, and that his book will remain the same. But as with all anxiety I face, I'm not going to focus on that because he wouldn't want me to feel that way. In honor of him, I'm going to instead continue to focus on being thankful. Thankful for Eddie, for our family, for support, and for a man, my grandfather-in-law, that I'll continue to think about every time I write and that I know is still reading every word in his book. And finally, I have an article for you from a website called IQ.com. It's spelled E-Y-E-Q-U-E, IQ.com. If you want to be the life of the Thanksgiving party, the center of attention, wow people with your knowledge. Well, the next article is actually titled, This Thanksgiving, Impress Your Family and Friends with Unique I Facts. Indeed, the eyes have it, providing an endless source of amazing I facts. Here are a few that we found especially intriguing. Little facts about eyes. The average person blinks 12 times per minute, about 10,000 blinks per day, and 4.2 million blinks per year. Well, if you come out with those little facts at a Thanksgiving gathering, your family and friends are truly going to be amazed. Next, infants blink 10 times less than adults. Next, of the 285 million visually impaired people across the globe, 39 million are blind. More than 50% of blindness is caused by untreated cataracts. A person can be legally blind, but still see colors, shapes, and varying degrees of light. About 10 to 15% of people who are blind see nothing at all. Less than 2% of visually impaired people use a white cane to navigate. Others use guide dogs or nothing at all. People who are blind are just as likely as anyone else to experience vivid dreams while they're sleeping. However, their dreams are dominated by sounds, smells, and taste. Research has dispelled the age-old myth that blindness sharpens other senses. Rather, people who are blind pay more attention to how objects smell or feel and devote time recording this information cognitively. Here's one that you can find arguing about. It is possible for two blue-eyed parents to have a brown-eyed child. Another fact, people with blue eyes share a common ancestor with every other blue-eyed individual in the world. That's amazing. Next, people often wonder if their pets see and what they see. Cats see 6 to 8 times better in dim light than humans do due to the shape of their retinas. While cats have acute night and peripheral vision, their color vision is limited. Scorpions have as many as 12 eyes. However, the box jellyfish has twice as many. Next, camels have 3 eyelids to protect their eyes from sand blowing in the desert. And here's a whopper for you. The colossal squid, which weighs up to 1,650 pounds and measures 39 to 46 feet long, boasts the largest eye on the planet of any creature. Their eye measures 10.6 inches in diameter. Well, I do hope you can use some of these amazing eye facts at your celebration of Thanksgiving, no matter how you are celebrating this year. Happy Thanksgiving week to you, your family, and your friends. To summarize today's program, after hearing all these thoughts about the Thanksgiving holiday, I hope you can identify some of your own reasons to be thankful at this time of the year. To end the program, I have a quote. Actually, it's a little Thanksgiving poem, and no one specific has claimed authorship of it. May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious and your pies take the prize. And may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off of your thighs. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week.